Stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live, but first, this is our Denver Bible Church update. And hello, I'm Pastor Bob and Yurt of Denver Bible Church. I'd like to invite you to visit us this Sunday at 6200 West Hampton. That's near Hampton and Wadsworth. You can check us out on the web at denverbiblechurch.com or call for directions 303-463-1707. That's denverbiblechurch.com. One of the neat things about our church is the families, the kids, the friendships that develop there. It's so neat to see families that really recognize the risk to their children that our society poses and our culture. The risk in magazines and in cable TV and movies you rent at the grocery store. I mean, a lot of this stuff is really dangerous for kids and adults, for that matter. And at Denver Bible Church, there is a group of families that encourage one another toward being aware of the risks and protecting our kids. Even the public school system is such a dangerous environment for children. It's a godless education system. And at Denver Bible Church, you will get to know families who are really working on raising godly kids. I know, you know, most churches do that. They want to raise godly kids. But sadly, so many churches look the other way to the immorality and the destructiveness of the public school system. And so when you come out and say the public school system is destroying Christian kids, young men, young women, boys and girls, it's designed to destroy them. Well, then what happens is you offend a lot of Christian parents because, you know, primarily for economic reasons, they send their kids to public schools. And a huge percentage of those Christian kids get really messed up in the public school system. And at Denver Bible Church, we warn families about the dangers of the public schools. And I think, I'm thinking through the families, we probably had 75, 80 people at church on Sunday. I think we're a public school free zone at Denver Bible Church. I don't think we've got kids going to public school. And we don't want any of our kids going to public school. If you come to Denver Bible Church and your kids go to a public school, you could expect that Christian families will ask you about how you're doing, how are your kids doing, and do you homeschool? Do your kids go to Christian school? And if we find out your kids go to public school, we will encourage you to pull them out that very day, if possible. Well, it might be a Sunday, but that's all right. Then don't have your kids go back. And we've helped families think through, well, how can we possibly homeschool? It's too hard. And we'll help you think through, how do you protect your kids? How do you do that? And it's a challenge. It's a challenge that'll last for 20 years, 18 years, as you raise your children. And we've seen the stories over and over and over. For 12 years, we've been on the air about the Christian families who kids that have gotten just so wrecked. And we want to help you avoid that for your kids. And so come on out, visit us at Denver Bible Church, and you'll be encouraged toward homeschooling. That's if you have kids. If you don't have kids, we've got a number of singles. We don't have a singles group, though. And we do, but we have a lot of young singles who are determined to live godly lives. And we have pro-life activists, we battle atheists, evolutionists, homosexuals, humanists, Hollywood, the media, the secular media, at Denver Bible Church. So come on out and visit. Give us a call for directions, 303-463-1707.
Service with the weak and I'm not.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. KHOW Radio in Denver, probably what? It's our second most popular talk radio station. KHOW 630 AM. Peter Boyles in the morning. This morning, he was talking, of course, about Paul Hill, who was to be executed today, the extremist pro-lifer who shot to death an abortionist, John Britton. And he was talking about that and the pro-life activities that went on in Denver and Boulder this past weekend, run by the Survivors, a California group with chapters around the country. And I heard, and on the show, I didn't hear it, but I heard about Keith Mason, the Midwest director of Survivors, was on with Peter Boyles this morning. And Peter Boyles invited him on tomorrow morning. And I'm thinking, well, hey, here at Bob and Aaron Live, what are we, chop liver? I mean, we promote the living daylights out of this stuff, pro-life activism. So we asked Keith Mason if he would join us to so we could find out firsthand what happened this past weekend, and we'll talk about Paul Hill's execution. Keith, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Bob, for having me.
You're welcome. Keith, you're the director, right, of the Midwest chapter of Survivors?
Yeah, it's a glorified title. We're just a grassroots organization.
So. Yeah, and you guys stirred up some trouble this weekend with your large sign showing people what abortion is all about in Boulder and in Denver.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
And there were complaints by people, whether school kids saw the signs and mothers upset about kids having nightmares and all. And so you were being grilled on KHOW this morning.
Yeah. And, more like crucified, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Peter Boyles, he was reasonably polite to you from what I heard.
Yeah, he was good.
Is that right? Yeah. And he is pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, I'd say, increasingly pro-life over the last few years, and we appreciate that in him. He's a liberal, but he's moving to the right.
Yeah.
He's not quite there, but he's on his way.
We're helping him move along.
Nudging him.
Yeah.
We're trying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So at any rate, then while you were talking about the protest and the kids that have seen the signs, and I'd like to get to all that in a bit, he hits you out of nowhere, blindsides you with, so what do you think about Paul Hill? Do you agree with him? Should we kill abortionists?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, they're putting Paul Hill to death today. What do you think of that?
Yeah. And, you know, and that's a substantive issue that I would like to talk through right now. And then in the show, we'll get to the pictures you guys show. You know, of course, almost everyone in the country is against pro-lifers killing abortionists.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is if we show these pictures in public of the babies that the abortionists kill, they're against that too. So if a pro-life extremist kills an abortionist, or we just use our free speech rights and show the victims that the abortionists kill, either way, we're condemned. Either
right.
way.
Right.
And it is interesting when you silence free speech, you almost cultivate extremism. And free speech and pro-life work is silenced in a lot of ways in this country.
Yeah.
So you know what the snotty answer is to the person who asks a pro-lifer, well, what do you think about killing an abortionist? Do you know what the bratty answer is? Have you ever heard it?
I think I do. Why don't you go ahead and say?
Well, go ahead. I want to see if you've heard it.
Well, maybe it'd be something like, maybe we could twist it around like something I hear almost every day. I'm on the picket line from people, Christians, people wearing crosses, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe something like, well, personally, I'm opposed to the violence at abortion clinics, but who am I to oppose my morality on anyone?
Yeah, right. even politicians will say, well, personally, I'm against abortion, but who am I to impose my morality on someone else? So the bratty answer, if somebody asks you about Paul Hill killing an abortionist, is personally, I'm opposed to killing abortionists, but who am I to impose my morality upon someone else?
Right.
And that shows the liberal who is asking you how evil they are. Because those who say that, well, personally, I'm opposed to abortion. Well, why? Well, why are you personally opposed?
So I don't have to argue with you right now.
Yeah. Do you think they're too expensive? Do you think, well, I mean, what reason? Other than you're killing an innocent baby. And if somebody's killing an innocent baby, then of course we should impose the morality, do not murder, on other people. That's the whole point of law. So anyway, that's the bratty answer. But I'd like to talk through the issue generally because Dennis Prager, who's syndicated on Salem Radio, he's in Denver on KNUS in mm-hmm. the afternoons. You've heard Dennis Prager?
Yeah.
He said today – I only caught about 1 minute of his show. But he said that he was talking about Paul Hill, and if a pro-lifer argues that abortion is murder, then Dennis Prager said, then what Paul Hill did is not all that unreasonable from that perspective. Now, I think what Paul Hill did was wrong, but it's interesting to hear Dennis Prager, who's reasonably mainstream in the conservative world. He's mm-hmm. not a Christian. But it's reasonable to – I mean, it's interesting to hear him say that.
Right. He's pointing out directly the dilemma a lot of people who are very involved with the pro-life movement have, that and that is that, you know, we so pro-lifers that are at the clinics, whatever, you know, Paul Hill probably included, that he's watching children die. He's watching women go in
right.
with children, and he's watching them come out without their kids.
Right.
And he knows that the man that walks in there to go to work that day is going to go tear those babies apart.
Kill the babies.
Yeah.
And they're babies and they're being murdered.
Yeah.
And they suffer and it's murder.
Horrible.
It's
horrible.
Mass murder.
Yeah.
And then Dennis Prager also added, he said he had a caller who was a Christian pro-lifer and said what Paul Hill did was absolutely wrong. And then Dennis Prager said, well, what if you got to ask him a question? And what if he said, would you kill the commandant of a Nazi death camp? Would you use force against them, the SS and the Nazis who were slaughtering Jews and innocent people? And the caller couldn't – he said, well, that's a hard question. That's a different issue, and I can't really – he couldn't formulate a response.
Mm-hmm.
And I wished I was able to hear the rest of that program so I could know where Dennis Prager was going with all this, but I didn't, so I don't know what happened. But I'd like us to talk through it because if it's okay to kill an abortionist, then it's not just the abortionist. It's the whole government that legalizes and authorizes child killing. Then it would be okay to kill everyone from the president right on down to the local judge or police officer who defends the abortion clinic. And I believe that that's wrong, that that's – leading us to anarchy, which is something that God tries to stop in our society. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Two and three. Bob Inyart here, live commercial break. Hey, our phone number for the order line, is 1-888-8-INYARD. That's 1-888-836-9278. And we are, little by little, we are adding different titles to our catalog. And do we have a lot of fun Bible study materials? Audio albums, we've got the Gospel of John, Romans, First Timothy. I mean, these books of the Bible, like the Gospel of John, is Jesus Christ God? That gospel deals with that topic. The life of Jesus, the cross and the empty tomb, what does it all mean? And so we talk through the Gospel of John, we teach through it, and you can enjoy it. Get the Gospel of John, Volume 1, 6 tapes, about 9 hours of Bible study for $32.95. People have told us that that very first tape titled, Is This Man God?, is one of – it's just so exciting to hear the evidence in the Bible to show the deity of Jesus Christ. It's so neat. So give us a call or check us out at kgov.com. Welcome back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And we are in studio. I've got Keith Mason, which is an honor, the Midwest Director of Survivors. And we're talking about his appearance on KHEL this morning with Peter Boyles. And tomorrow morning you should be back on, right?
Yeah, they told me about 7 o'clock.
O'clock, so we'll tune in.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll encourage our audience to tune in tomorrow morning, 7.
Give a call. Let's have some good—
Yeah, call.
Some good input.
Today the callers were all negative, right?
Half and half. I had a guy tell me he's going to punch me in the face if he ever seen me out there.
So. Oh, he must be one of those liberal, beautiful people who believes in free speech,
yes.
Tolerance,
yes.
And diversity.
I don't know if he was gay.
Ooh.
Is this a H-free zone this morning?
No, it's not.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
He had a kid, and it was for the protection of his child, of course.
Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. So anyway, we're talking about, killing an abortionist, and if it's okay to kill an abortionist, because an abortionist is a murderer, we do know that, then the government that authorizes that abortion, that child killing, is also guilty and an accomplice.
Right.
So, and in fact, Paul Hill, who was executed today, and we called for his execution years ago on Bob and Yart Live on TV, and I wrote it in a novel we used to sell, we've taken it off the market, called The First 5 Days. And I still have that position that Paul Hill should have been executed for the crime he committed. But so let's talk through that.
It's a bit interesting because you think about it, and when you know that an unborn child is a human being, has the right to life, and you know that unborn child is going to be killed by a man getting paid to do so.
Yeah.
It just is inherent. Why not stop him? Why not go out of your way to stop him? If it was anywhere else, what would be the difference? You know, why? Because the government's condoning this. Why does that make it okay for this man to do it?
Yeah.
Or why is it okay?
And it doesn't.
Well, why does someone not have the ability or the right to kill that person? To kill that murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Murder the murderer, or however you want to say it.
Kill the murderer.
Yeah.
If, for example, if someone's coming after your wife or you or a neighbor with a knife and they're going to try to harm or kill you, you have the right before God and even in our country to stop that person and use lethal force if necessary to kill him in order to save yourself. You have that right. And the Bible tells us we have that right.
Right. In Exodus 22, verse 2 and 3, it talks about that. I'll paraphrase it. It talks about if a man breaks into your house at night and you were to kill him, you're not at any fault.
You're not guilty.
Yeah.
A guy, you're home, say you're in bed, your wife and your kids are sleeping, and some guy breaks into your home and it's dark. You know, back then they didn't have electric lights, no night vision goggles.
Yeah.
And some guy comes into your home and you pick up a club and you swing it and you hit his head and you kill him.
Right.
God says, you're not guilty. You are not guilty of any crime because that was the reasonable use of force to defend your life and your family.
Right. So to get deep into that mentality, you know, I mean, there's other Bible verses as well. So, okay. So Exodus 22 would be one way to justify it. And another way would be maybe rescuing those about to be killed.
From Proverbs.
Yeah, from Proverbs.
And that was the verse for the entire rescue movement in America.
Yeah.
That had – it dwarfed the civil rights movement in the 60s, where I think about 40,000 or more Christians were arrested, or there were about 40,000 arrests during a few years of the rescue movement. Maybe the whole civil rights movement for 10 years, there was maybe 10,000 arrests. That shows the difference in the size and the scope. But the media, while it was supportive of the civil rights movement, it condemned, mocked, and opposed the movement to protect innocent children.
Still is.
Still is. And the government was against us, the federal government, against the pro-life movement. And so the rescue movement was crushed, unfortunately. But we were rescuing those being drawn toward death, though we weren't killing the abortionist. We were doing it peacefully. So that verse you mentioned in Exodus 22, there's also another part of that verse. If you kill someone who's broken into your home at night, you're not guilty. But God says, in the way he's, you know, he's good at saying things in condensed form often. And he says, but if the sun rose and you did it, you are guilty.
That's kind of weird. What do you think that means? That's kind of funny.
Yeah, what's with that? Sunrise, then you're guilty?
Daytime.
Well, it has to do with the use of force and the escalation of force and weighing the threat and the risk against you.
Mm-hmm.
And during the day, you can see your adversary. You could see the risk. And during the day, there's less of a threat implied by someone breaking into a home than at night. And so let's say – I'll give an example. The neighbor kid, 14-year-old punk, comes into your back door and sees your wallet on the kitchen table and he grabs it and he's leaving. And you take your gun and you shoot him in the back and kill him. I think we could all intuitively see that that's murder.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The same 14-year-old punk – breaks into your home at night when you're sleeping. And for one, he has a pretty good reason to believe you're all home. During the day, he might have thought nobody's home.
They're at work, whatever.
You know, they're at work and it's light out. He'd have to think you're probably not home because he's not going to walk in with you looking at him. But at night, it's dark and people sneak in the dark. And so you can't see him. He has reason to believe you're probably home. He's going to sneak in anyway. You don't know what kind of a weapon he has. So you got to kill him. Not that you have to kill him, but if you kill him, you're not guilty. So that's what God was getting at, the escalation of force. And you're not allowed to use lethal force to stop a crime if you could stop a crime in other ways.
Yeah.
You can't just kill the person, no matter how evil they are. And so that's one principle in that verse. And then there are other principles that I think come into play as we look through the Bible.
Yeah. Maybe one would be with David and Saul, how David had the opportunity to kill Saul. And he had good suspicion that Saul was going to kill him.
Yeah, right. Suspicion or,
well,
or certain knowledge.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. And also Saul was a murderer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Saul was an unrepentant murderer, and he was trying to kill David and David's men. And not only that, but David had a bit more authority than the average citizen would have because he was already anointed by God to be the next king. So if he killed Saul, he's executing a murderer, even though as a vigilante, and he's immediately the king. And he declares himself innocent because he killed a guilty murderer who deserved to die. In fact, Saul was trying to kill David and his men actively.
Mm-hmm.
And so he could even argue that it was in self-defense. But David said, I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed, even when he was right at Saul's neck with a knife. Saul was asleep. He could have killed him. And he said he would not do it. And God, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And God's love for David is known 3,000 years later. And even though David was sort of messed up, he was sorry for the things he did wrong that were very bad. And God really loved David. And I think that respect that David had for authority, for God's authority structure, is one of the things that touched God's heart about that man. Because he could have taken out vengeance and he could have said it was self-defense, but it wasn't imminent self-defense because Saul and his men were out to kill David, but right then they were all asleep. Mm-hmm. As soon as they woke up, in fact, David went up in the mountain and said, "Hey, Saul, guess what? Look what I got." You know, cut off the edge of his garment. And so we have the issue of authority, and God does not say to everyone in a country, if your government is evil, you have the right to usurp its authority and execute justice. Because, you know, murder is not the only crime. It's one of the most important. But there's stealing and assaults and sexual crimes. And so is there a principle that when the government is not executing authority justly, that we have the right to take it up? And I think no, unless there's imminent risk and we could only use an escalation of force. And so if this abortionist is killing babies on a regular schedule for years, there's probably 1,000 things that could be done short of killing someone to stop him from killing babies. Mm-hmm. Probably if you're creative. And then also Paul Hill, he killed not only the abortionist, right?
The security guard as well.
Yeah, he killed the security guard, James Barrett of Pensacola, Florida. In fact, one of our friends is just on her way to Pensacola Christian College to start school there. And so this James Barrett, he's an accomplice to murder. He was the security guard.
Yeah, escorting women in probably.
Yeah. But as a Christian, I don't have the authority or the right to kill him. And he wasn't going to do any abortions that day. And I wish – I don't have the details of the crime here, and I don't know how well it was documented, you know, how accurately we know exactly what happened. But he wasn't going to kill any babies that day. You know, he's the security guard.
Oh, the security guard, yeah.
Yeah. And so it seems to me that Paul Hill was not only exercising supposed – claimed self-defense of these children or defending these children, but also judgment. He was being the judge and the executioner, it seems to me.
It seems right like that as well to me.
With the security guard.
Now, the abortionist was on his way to do abortions that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a letter here that Paul Hill wrote, and he said that he just couldn't bear seeing him go in another day. He said, let me quote him. Right here. I had made up my mind that that clinic door would not close and lock behind the abortionist, protecting him as he had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And just – so it was very, very
well,
premeditated.
And the way I interpret that is Paul Hill was impatient and he couldn't – you know, we like to win the battles we fight. We like to win them and we get frustrated when – the innocent are being victimized and we're not winning and we want to win. And these abortionists deserve to die and that's it. I'm going to kill him and I'm going to kill a security guard. How about Hitler? You know, I think it might be instructive if we talked about Nazi Germany.
Well, it's very comparative, right?
Yeah, it really is. And Dennis Prager brought it up. He said, well, you know, is this so easy to answer? What if you were in Nazi Germany? And it's the commandant of Auschwitz, and they're slaughtering thousands of innocent people. Is it wrong to kill the commandant of Auschwitz or the guards, as many as you can? Go in there with a machine gun and gun them all down and free the prisoners if you can. I mean, I would have done that back then if I could have. But yeah, I'm saying I would not kill an abortionist. So why?
What's the difference?
Is there a difference? We'll be back after this. Bob Inyard here, and our debate, Does God Exist, is hot off the presses. We've got it. It's a 170-page debate in a manuscript form that you can call us up and order, or go on the web at kgov.com and click on the store in the top right corner. And that debate, Babinyart versus Zakif, is really fun. It's enjoyable to read. You know, it's always fun to watch an atheist get spanked, basically. But the evidence that is out there that God exists, virtually everything you look at. If you're interested in the debate, does God exist? Or maybe you have a coworker, a relative, a friend. Hey, this is a live commercial break, Babinyart Live, and we've got this debate on does God exist in manuscript form. It's 170 pages, and we've formatted it so that it's a beautiful presentation. And you could share it with a neighbor, a friend, a relative, a brother-in-law, a mother-in-law, a public school teacher. And if they don't believe in God, you could say, you know, this debate has both sides. And isn't it neat to have both sides of the issue? Isn't it good to look at both sides of the issue, evidence presented on both sides and rebuttals, and then you're more informed when you make your own mind up. And so you might want to check out this debate. It's $19.95 plus shipping and handling. You can call us for that or any of our Bible study materials, videos. Call us at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go on the web at kgov.com, kgov.com. Click on the store, and you can read about all our materials. And I think you'll have fun with them. All right, we're back. Babinyart Live with Keith Mason, the Midwest Director of Survivors. And Keith, thank you for joining us in the studio.
It's an honor.
Do you know any of the details of how he ended up shooting the security guard?
The security guard, it's kind of unclear. I know the security guard shot. The incident itself, from my best recollection of reading on it, it was he had hid out and he was waiting for the abortionist to arrive. And as the abortionist arrived, he snuck out of a corner or a bush or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I guess at the time he was meditating or praying to stay clear with God, and he rushed up and he shot the abortionist and he shot the security guard next to him, mm-hmm. and set down his rifle, mm-hmm. and then walked away with his hands in the air so that he, you know, yeah. was known not to hurt anyone else.
Yeah, I see here in his letter he said he knew that he would be justified to kill a policeman in order to stop the murderer, but he didn't want to have to do it, and he was glad that he only had to kill the abortionist and the security guard and not a policeman, he says in here. So, all right, let's talk through the issue at Auschwitz or with Adolf Hitler.
Well,
let's talk through that.
Okay, so
and see where it leads us.
So you're a Jewish man, and your wife is being dragged away to be killed.
Right,
and that would be different.
You have every authority to use force.
Yeah, to kill.
Kill the people who are dragging her away to the ovens or the gas chambers,
whatever.
To kill them to save your wife.
But you're a German. You're being left alone, and you're in. It's not happening in your town yet,
right.
but you know it's coming. Do you have the right to shoot? Or you're in a political office in Germany, and you have the ability to kill Hitler.
Right. You can kill Hitler.
Yeah.
Who's
you have that
this
ability.
Evil leader.
Yeah.
Or not only Hitler, George W. Bush, who defends the killing of innocent children. Not as many as Hillary Clinton does, but he defends the killing of some innocent children and even funds it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we got to realize what we're talking about. Okay. Well, when it comes to Hitler, let's use the biblical principles of King David and also the Apostle Paul. When Paul wrote that we should obey the government, the governing authorities, the Roman Empire was the government. And that wasn't exactly a purer than the driven snow government. The Roman Empire was evil. It was evil. And if the government said you must obey God, then you should disobey the government. We see that in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. When the government tells you to do something criminal, you should disobey it. If the government is trying to kill you unjustly, you can resist them. Or trying to kill your wife or your kid or your neighbor, you can help resist and use force when it's imminent. But just because the government is evil and has innocent blood on its hands doesn't mean we have the right to go and kill Caesar or kill Pontius Pilate or kill whoever.
Whoever's leading, president.
Yeah, who's ever leading, or Adolf Hitler. God has not delegated that authority to citizens, to civilians, to subjects of a government. Now, I think we could see why he hasn't. I don't think it's hard to see why.
There's no difference between that and anarchy.
That's awfully close to anarchy, right?
Mm-hmm.
God could have said, because he laid out principles of government in the Bible, and he could have said, whenever a governing official is doing anything wrong, you as an individual have the right to usurp that authority and bring justice. But he didn't.
Yeah.
And I think the reason God didn't is because the principles of government, now because humans are sinners, government will always be broken. It will always be broken. It'll always be bad. Over any given period of time, you're going to have bad government. As the history of the world and the sacred history in the Bible shows us, Israel always had bad government, except for a few short years here and there. As soon as that was over, it was bad. And so you're always going to have bad government. And not only that, people disagree frequently about what is shedding innocent blood and what is not. Some people think the death penalty is shedding innocent blood, right? Some people think if the death penalty, if you execute a criminal, you're a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think going to war to depose Saddam Hussein is murder. So you basically be systematically authorizing everyone to kill governing officials when they think they're doing wrong regarding criminal justice, warfare, and all sorts of other, you know, possible wicked acts that governments may do. And I think when God looks at it, he knows that that would fail. I mean, no matter what we do, our governments will fail because we're evil. But if you give the individual the authority to execute justice and bring vengeance, forget it. You're in big trouble.
Just a big mess. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets worse. It doesn't get better. So with Adolf Hitler, no German had the right to kill Adolf Hitler. They had the right to disobey him and resist him and risk their own livelihood and their own freedom and even their own lives by resisting him. But the Germans were cowards and they didn't do that. Just like we Americans are cowards and we don't resist for the most part. But that changed as soon as war broke out. You know, the Christian Bonhoeffer, who tried to execute Adolf Hitler,
mm-hmm.
tried to blow him up with a bomb. He was justified in what he was doing because the war had broken out. And in a just war, it is acceptable to target the army, the governing officials of the enemy who's on the wrong side of the war. And so any Allied soldier could kill Adolf Hitler, and it would be just, it would be heroic to kill him. And the same thing then with any German. Because any German citizen before the war, he had no authority to usurp in order to kill a governing official.
Mm-hmm.
But once the war begins, America had the authority to go in and kill Hitler. And so a German person could basically come under the umbrella of the Allied authority and kill Hitler and do it justly. They could also kill Nazi soldiers or concentration camp guards and commandants because they're under the just umbrella of the Allied forces.
Mm-hmm.
But when your country, if I was to take over America tomorrow and I were suddenly the king, I would not round up all the abortionists and kill them because it would be unjust of me, even though they're murderers. But in America, it's legal to kill unborn children. So that it would be unjust for our government to suddenly round up all the abortionists and kill them. We don't have the authority as Americans to kill our American abortionists. Now, if Canada suddenly became righteous, forget that. And if they actually suddenly had an army, forget that too.
Yeah.
And they were to say America is evil because they're killing over a million innocent people every year in abortion. And we're going to evade America, kill their governing officials, defeat their army, and protect these children. If the Canadians did that, they would be completely justified in doing that.
And coming in.
And that would be wonderful.
And it'd be something like the war on the unborn or war of the unborn or something.
Yeah, right.
What about, you know, I mean, that's a pretty common term in the pro-life, you know, circles and things, that we're in a war. There's a war on the unborn. Joe Scheidler talks about the war on the unborn all the time.
Yeah, right.
And how we are in a battle, which we are. We are in a battle to a sense, but
yeah,
it's not a war.
There's a spiritual war going on, and not only for the unborn, right?
Well, for souls and
homosexuals, yeah. Kids in public school, evolutionists. So, and your eternal salvation is more important than your physical life. So maybe then we kill, you know, public school science teachers who teach evolution and homosexual activists and pornographers. And where do you stop?
Yeah.
Right? Because it's all a war, and it's a war with eternal consequences.
Yeah.
So we have to look really carefully at the principles of the escalation of force and imminency and authority in the Bible. And when I've seen extremist Christians trying to defend killing abortionists, I've been looking since 1988, I've never seen one deal with these principles and these biblical events and say, well, here's how we answer Exodus 22. Here's how we answer King David. Here's how we answer Paul's Romans 13. I haven't seen that. I've seen them take what I think are a few verses out of context and ignore the significant passages that lay out the principle of the use of force. Yeah. And so it's on those grounds that I say taking carte blanche to kill an abortionist is wrong. Now, there are other things pro-lifers have done that we could debate whether they're strategically wise or not. Like, let's say, destroying the equipment inside of an abortion mill. Or destroying an abortion mill, the actual property.
You're not harming any individual. But
right.
Property.
You're not killing someone. You're breaking a law, but you're using an escalation of force that you're not using lethal force just because really you want vengeance and you can't wait for judgment day. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to kill the security guard and the abortionist. That's another issue. And pro-lifers have been able to save thousands and thousands of babies using peaceful means, more than I think Paul Hill saved killing a couple people.
Yeah.
one 800 8 NYART is the call-in line, and this is a live commercial break, and our order line is 1-888-8-NYART. I want to tell you about some of our videos. One is called The Trouble with Lawyers, Bob versus the Publicans. We had a bunch of publicans calling the show, or lawyers, and that was a lot of fun. And it's a neat – you know, you wonder about the legal system. The Trouble with Lawyers, hey, check out that video. It's only $19.95. We have video fruitcake, hilarious liberal callers. Great gift idea. Plenty of yucks. You'll crack up for an hour. Now, that video, it's more than an hour, I think. But you'll laugh through almost the entire video. I mean, some people have dinner parties, and they have their friends over on Friday night, and they pop in they pop in video fruitcake. It's entertaining. It's better than Mystery Science Theater. What do you call that? Is that what you call that?
Yeah.
That science? Mystery Science Theater 3000. This is funnier than that. And this is real life, video fruitcake. Not only that, you could send it to your relatives for Christmas, video fruitcake. And maybe the next year, if you're lucky, they'll send it back to you.
What if they're fruitcakes?
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, one of the callers, that's where we got the title, because one of the callers was such a fruitcake. And I called the caller a fruitcake during the call. Mm-hmm. And it just struck me to say, you know, for Christmas, you should take a picture of yourself and send it to your relatives in place of a gift, because you might as well just give them a fruitcake. And it just struck my funny bone. I just couldn't stop laughing. And so video fruitcake is a fun video. And then we have Amy's call, Terry's call, Megan's call, debating homosexuals, exposing a young woman's cold heart who's pro-abortion. Amy, who thought she was good enough to get to heaven, and she's sleeping around having a baby out of wedlock. Interesting videos. We are going to the phones right now with Keith Mason in studio, Bob Inyart Live. In Aurora, Nathaniel, speak your mind.
Hello, God bless all. How you doing, Bob?
Doing well.
I would like to ask you a couple of hypothetical questions.
Yeah.
Number one, abortion. We have allowed the doctor to go into the woman's womb and to rip a little human being apart that's in the womb.
Yeah.
Now, the second step is the child is about three-fourths the ways out, and we suck the brains out.
We do. Partial birth abortion.
So of course, the next two steps is an evil lawyer and an evil judge team up. And then the child comes out. Well, the cord is still hooked to the mama, so you could still kill the child.
Yeah, right.
That's the next step.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Of course. Nathaniel, just to put more force to your point, mm-hmm. 10 years ago, Pat Robertson said on his show, and he was mocked in the media for saying it. He mm-hmm. said, "Pretty soon, the baby's going to be coming out the birth canal, and they're mm-hmm. still going to kill it."
Yeah.
And he was mocked for saying that. And now with partial birth abortion that Hillary Clinton supports and a good number of other politicians, the baby is fully delivered out of the mother except for his head. And they put a knife in the back of the baby's neck and shove it into his skull and kill the baby. They're murderers.
Now,
and they shouldn't be put to death.
Now, Bob.
Yeah.
Didn't I hear you say in New York or somewhere that they're trying to pass a law – then after the child's out the womb, they could still kill the child? I heard someone
A video. We have it on video called Infanticide Exposed.
Okay.
New York Times article, Sunday New York Times, 3-page article advocating that it should be legal to kill a baby in the first month after it's born for any reason.
Wow.
Now, don't
3-page article. We read the whole New York Times murderous infanticide murderous editors at the New York Times. We read the whole thing on the TV show. That's why it's
now
a video.
Don't tell me it won't happen. If we keep them going the way we're going, it's going to happen. When do we, the Christians, say enough is enough? If a child is out the mother's womb, and if a child is in the what's the place they go to when everybody can go see them through the window?
The nursery? What do they call it there?
Now, say they have a law saying, okay, as long as the child has not left the hospital, if the mom changed her mind, you could send in a terminator and terminate the child.
That very well could happen. That could happen.
When can we say, okay, that's enough. We must stop the terminator from going to the room and kill the child. Will we still allow that terminator to go in the room and kill that child?
Well, the principles are the same. The imminency of the crime, the escalation of force, and the authority structure, so that if someone's coming to kill your child or your neighbor and you're there, you can use force to stop the crime.
So
then
it'd be all right to stop that man from coming to that nursery killing that child?
Well, if it's your child or your neighbor's child or you're there and you have no other choice, yeah, you can do that. But my point with abortion is we have plenty of other choices because this has been going on for 30 years. So we have plenty of other ways of stopping people from performing abortions, but some extremist pro-lifers get frustrated and they want to see vengeance now, and so they kill people.
But but you agreed that it would be all right to stop that man then.
Well, you don't understand the point I just made, Nathaniel. You don't understand my point. You can't repeat my point.
It would be all right to stop that man.
Explain the point I just made.
Uh-huh.
You can't because you weren't listening to me. You want me to make it again?
Yes.
I know you're a neat Christian guy. I have no doubt. And I'm thrilled you're pro-life, but you're not getting my point. In the Bible, God talks about the escalation of force and the imminency of danger and risk. And just because a crime is going to be committed doesn't mean you have the right to kill someone if you can do other things to avert the crime. And so there are a thousand things pro-lifers could do if they really want to stop an abortion, short of killing an abortionist.
Suppose you shoot the man in the leg and he's so evil, he make up his mind, I'm still going to get this child.
Right. Well,
did you suppose,
I said a thousand.
Suppose you shoot the man in the arm.
Yeah.
His man's made up. I'm going to kill this child.
Yeah. Well, you could. There are all kinds of things that could be done. I'd rather not list all the things you could do on the air. Nathaniel, let me tell you why I don't want to list them all. Because strategically, I think it's a mistake. I think more kids end up getting killed when pro-lifers try to bomb abortion clinics or burn them down. Because the pro-life movement, it goes further. I mean, we have no reputation now at all. And a few acts of violence in the pro-life community and even the Christian community doesn't want to have anything to do with the pro-life community. Now, you're aware of that, right, Nathaniel? Do you know that the Christian community doesn't like
–
Nathaniel, answer
that.
Tell me what you think of this question. I'm saying the Christian community does not want anything to do with the pro-life community. True or false?
It could be true.
Yeah, it's true.
It's very true.
Because they're cowards. A lot of community members are bad cowards.
Part of it is strategic because some pro-life extremists were bombing clinics and shooting at abortionists, killing abortionists, and millions of Christians, millions, say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. So if the pro-life extremists were smarter, which they're not, they're frustrated and they want vengeance and they're impatient. And so they've gone ahead and done these things that were tactical errors. And so more kids end up getting killed because the pro-life community becomes weaker and more isolated.
Before they killed Hill today, he said that more people should be like him. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Once they legalize Roe versus Wade and start killing 45 million babies, if you think the Christians, if you think there was – say, 1,000 people like Hill and will start killing abortion doctors immediately once they legalize abortion, do you think that we think they'll be right now for as 45 million babies dead? Do you think that the doctor would say, hey, this is crazy. I'm not going to
No, I don't think that would work. You know, Christians
– back then.
Back then? No, I don't think it would work. Christians, and plus it would have been wrong. Respond to the principles, the biblical principles I laid out, Nathaniel. Okay. Could you respond to them about David and Exodus, about somebody breaking into your home, and about Paul and Romans?
Yes.
Could you respond to those three?
You said that's very nice. You said about escalation. If it's during the day, you can see the person. You can see how much force he's going to use against you. If it's night, you didn't see. You didn't know. So you just were sure and killed him.
Yeah, so God said you're a murderer if you used more force than you needed to stop a crime.
Okay. I understand that, okay.
So did Paul Hill, he was at this for years, couldn't he do other things than kill the abortionist?
I suppose so.
Yeah, so he's a murderer because he just ran out of patience and he wanted to win and he was going to win today.
45 million abortions, 45 million babies, a lot of babies in it.
Yeah, there would have been it would have been the same if we had a few Paul Hills back then. Because, see, conservative extremist Christians, the real right-wing wackos, they fancy having a civil war. And they think it's going to be the NRA and the Patriots against the homosexuals and the ACLU. But that's not it. It's going to be a few wackos with their pitchforks against the Navy SEALs and the Green Berets and the Army and the Navy and the Marines and the National Guard. So whatever wacko Christian right-wingers are looking forward to a civil war, they're mental cases. They're just mental cases.
Now tell me, how about the militia? Do militia have a part in doing this? Can they stop? Can they say this is not constitutional?
No, that's wacko. No government says that people have the right to raise up an army within their borders that can be used against the government. No government in the history of the world.
I thought our constitution said the militia.
Okay, so if Osama bin Laden's henchmen want to train 250,000 Islamic jihadist warriors in America, in the hills of Montana, and raise an army here, do they have the right?
No.
No, that's it. You answered your question.
So we don't have the right to bear arms, as the Constitution says?
You have the right to bear arms, yeah.
And to stop tyranny?
You do not have the right to kill your governing officials.
You don't have
the right to kill the president, the governor, the mayor, the judges. Do we have the right to stop tyranny? No.
We don't have the right to stop tyranny?
No, there was tyranny under the Roman Empire, and the Apostle Paul said, obey the governing authorities. You only disobey when they tell you to disobey God.
So you can use self-defense and imminent force.
I got to go. Thank you, Nathaniel. Call me another night about our forefathers. Keith, we're out of time, and it's not right because we wanted to talk about your wife called into a K-House show today.
Redmond and Newman show.
In the afternoon, and just – they said she was a terrorist, basically.
A terrorist. They said she was – illegitimate, you know, in other words, of course.
They were vulgar to your wife.
Yeah. They were just vulgar to us. They said that, you know, we're terrorists by the government standards because we go and show people pictures of what abortion
is. And so that's terrorists.
That's terrorism.
And they're liberal idiots. When they refer to a terrorist like an Islamic terrorist, the word doesn't have any meaning. If you show a picture of violence, you're a terrorist. Mm-hmm. They're just idiots.
Yeah. Idiots.
Do you think any pro-lifers should call them? Should we give their number out? Do you know their number?
Yeah. What's
their number?
We got their number from a guy out here.
Let's have one of our producers give the number.
Yeah. So anyway, they were going off about what we were doing. They said they're going to talk about it again. They said that, you know, what we did was totally wrong, and they're going to try and find lawyers to fight this to the furthest extent of the law.
They're so – the two
stupid.
The morons stupid. On KHOW in the afternoon, 303-713-8255.
They're in the afternoon.
713-TALK. Yeah, Redmond and Newman. You could call – they're not going to find a lawyer.
Yeah.
They probably can't even afford a lawyer with that loser show they got.
Anyone just want to call them and say that they didn't appreciate 303-713-TALK.
That's 303-713-8255.
Yeah.
That's funny. Now. Hey, tomorrow night, could you call in an update of how it goes tomorrow morning on Peter Boyle's?
Yeah, I think so.
That'll be 7 o'clock so. Tomorrow morning on KHOW.
Tomorrow morning, yeah.
6:30.
Anybody wants to call in, they can call that same number and call in tomorrow and talk with
Peter. Tomorrow morning, call Peter Boyle's and talk to Keith Mason on KHOW. 713-8255, 713-TALK.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Bob, for having me on.
Keith,
it's
great to see you. Thanks for the work you and your wife do. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so we're about out of time. You know, Nathaniel was going to the question of how about our founding fathers? Were they right or wrong for what they did? And that confuses Christians because our founding fathers were right, not in everything they did. They were messed up in a lot of ways, but they were right for fighting our war of independence. But the French were wrong for the French Revolution. The French Revolution was evil. The American War of Independence was just. What's the difference? Christians should know. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.